WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of the program here on a Wednesday morning. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And of course, this hour we'll have your first Money Talks cash code of the day coming your way in just a little bit. Less than 20 minutes. Less than 15 minutes, I'll say. So, but that's about all the hints I can give you. So as you remember, the other day we lost Jay North, who was Dennis the Menace on the original TV series there, the live-action TV series. And now, of course, when any celebrity passes, there's a lot of remembrances that you'll see online. And certainly I've seen a lot of tributes to Jay North pop up on Facebook and whatnot, but I also follow a lot of people on Facebook who are of that time period of child actors. So John Provost, Jerry Mathers, and you're seeing some of them, posting about their memories of working with Jay North and things like that. And I thought that this was kind of an interesting thing. There was a clip floating around of Jay North on a show called Couch Potatoes, which was a game show hosted by Mark Summers back in the late 80s that dealt with TV. You know, all the questions were about TV. One of many game shows that was about TV back in those days. And Joe Alasky was his announcer. If you don't know Joe Alasky, he played Uncle Beano on the syndicated series Out of This World about the girl Evie who was half alien and could freeze time. Now, those of you who are like, that sounds like a stupid show, Tim. It was kind of silly, but it was a big enough show that Burt Reynolds, who was at the height of being Burt Reynolds in the late 1980s, did the voice of her father, who was an alien from another planet that spoke to her through a cube in her room. He was never credited for it. He didn't want to be credited for it, but he was the voice of her father. But anyway, Joe Alasky was on that show, and he was also did a lot of cartoon voices, Tiny Toon Adventures, things like that. But on this show, Jay North was saying that in the 80s, they tried to do a reboot, a reunion. They wanted to have the original Dennis the Menace cast come back together, which at the time, I think the only person who was gone might have been, well, maybe Sylvia Field, because she was in her 60s when that show was on. But Joseph Kearns, because I believe Gail Gordon was still around at that time. He was on that Lucy show that came out around that same time. So they wanted to have like a Dennis the Menace reunion, and Hank Ketchum, who is the creator of the Dennis the Menace cartoon and owned all the licensing rights, he was against the idea because he said people should never see Dennis the Menace as an adult. He should always be, you know, that young troublemaking boy. So it never got to happen. But I was thinking about it. You know, people complain all the time about, oh, they can't come up with any ideas. They're bringing back Frasier. They're bringing back Will and Grace. They're bringing back all these shows because they can't come up. We did that in the 80s, too. We had Still the Beaver, which became the new Leave It to Beaver when it moved from the Disney Channel to TBS. But it was a reunion movie. Then they greenlit a series. So we had Leave It to Beaver come back in the 80s. We had Gidget come back in the 80s, albeit with a different actress playing Gidget. Sally Field was a huge movie star at that time, so Karen Richmond took over the role. there were other ones too. They brought back What's Happening. They brought back WKRP. They made a new version of the Munsters. Like, this was not, this is not anything new. But we didn't get to see what Dennis the Menace would have been like as an adult. I'm sure he would have been, you know, the one getting pranked by his own kid. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Mr. Weisberg.
How you doing?
Good. You know, I see a lot of news about the Teslas getting all scratched and dented and banged up and burned up. But I don't really see anything, unless I'm missing it, I don't see anything of anybody getting arrested or caught in the act. The owner of the Tesla happens to be looking out the window and maybe sees the guy attacking. Nobody goes out and causes a big fight. Or I don't see anybody in handcuffs. Have you seen or heard anything about it?
I've seen a few things kind of floating by on my social media news feeds of, like, you know, it'd be a picture of somebody, a booking photo. I want to say, like, this person was arrested for vandalizing, you know, Tesla's at a dealership, that kind of thing. I've seen a few of those here and there, but I think it's, you know, it really hasn't gotten a lot of coverage overall. Even the vandalism itself, I don't think has gotten a lot of coverage.
Yeah, I think there's something sick and twisted in that story, because why aren't people all lined up getting arrested? I don't see any of it. Just like when they had, when the COVID first came out, and the news stations were loaded with, oh, they're going to this building now, there's a big truck, they're bringing all these bodies out. I mean, where did the bodies go? I didn't hear any more about that. And when I first saw that, I really didn't believe it. So many bodies coming out in bags, and I feel that didn't happen.
Well, you're wrong about that. That actually did happen, and I'm sure people who were there and I'm sure people that were there experiencing it can call in and tell you that they had to see that and go through that traumatic thing firsthand. But in terms of the Tesla situation, I think maybe if you lived in an area where it happened, there might be more coverage. So you might see more coverage about it happening outside of that area of the actual event itself, and then the follow-up stories, you know, you won't see because it's not going to feed it to you as often. But if you lived in that area, you might see that follow-up. So if this happened at a Tesla dealership in New Bedford, you know, it might make headlines all over the country. Tesla dealership in New Bedford gets vandalized. But then, you know, here locally, we might be having the story when the person's caught, but you wouldn't necessarily see that come local. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, we'd like to see faces of people being dragged away for doing something like that. I don't see any of it.
I just think that it doesn't get fed to you as much if you're not local to it. So I think that's probably why you're not seeing it.
And now this boy getting stabbed through the heart because one guy came in and was told he didn't belong in there. So you're going to just pull a knife out, stab somebody and kill them. What is wrong with this story? I don't know. I believe it happened. But I'm not hearing enough about it. I want to hear more about that. There has to be something more. You just don't whip a knife out. If somebody says you don't belong in here, you got to go to another room or whatever the hell the story was about. I don't like that story at all. And did a boy really die? Was somebody really stabbed? I don't know. I don't see enough about it when it comes on. Or they'll say a few things about it on the radio and that's it.
Well, they can't. Here's the thing, though. People complain that when a story happens, if there's no new developments in it, that people are just milking a story. Oh, this again? There's nothing new about the story. If they don't have anything new to report, they're not going to bring you anything new.
Well, that's not me.
I just mean
in
general.
I want to see something that I know what happened, that I'm good after that. But now something else I was going to say went out of my mind. I'm going to have to start writing things down. Isn't that pitiful? I'm not that old that I should have to start writing things down. Oh, I saw your story about the Twin Peaks. Don't be too shocked now, but I've never seen one single episode. My kids were young then, and they were watching what they wanted. We only had one TV in the house. And so I did read the whole thing. I recognized the names of the actors. Dana Andrews and Gene Tierney. I remember my mother mentioning their names because I wasn't as old as my mother, but I remember her saying those names in the story, and you were connecting it to something about New Bedford. I didn't get the whole thing because when I was reading that story, I was kind of dozing off. So what does it have to do with New Bedford? If you can say it quickly. I know I used time already.
As I said in the story, really not much. I mean, okay. You know, but at the time of this The whole basis of Twin Peaks is about a girl who gets murdered. Her body is found, and they're trying to figure out who killed her. You know, and this happened less than a year after the last body was found in the New Bedford Highway murders. Not that necessarily influenced it, but it was more about the fact that this film that influenced Twin Peaks is going to be showing in New Bedford this weekend.
Mm. You know, the book about those highway killings, about the very first one that ever came out, I still have it. And then, of course, a few books came out after. I know you know the author and all. But I'm going to tell you, there isn't anything new. If they're going to come out with another book, I hope there's something in it, because it's all the same. I have both books, and I don't see much difference. So I think they kind of milked it enough on that story.
Well, so there is, I mean, there is a difference. The book that came out, you know, right after the Highway murders happened is written by somebody who probably never stepped foot in New Bedford at all. Whereas opposed to, you know, Shallow Graves is written by somebody who was on the beat as a reporter, covering the story, talking to the cops every day. So there is a difference between them. But in terms of, you know, information was available, there has been no breaks in the case in almost 40 years.
Well, I know who it was. I told you that before. I happen to know a lot of the people involved in that. I learned so much about it because I lived it in that area at the time. I knew a couple of the prostitutes before they were even prostitutes. So whenever I saw them, I would ask lots of questions. I got a lot of things that the cops never even got. And I'm going to tell you that they had the man and they let him go. They let the guy go. A lot of people didn't believe it was Kenneth Pont, but it was Kenneth Pont. And I wouldn't want to put all those things I know on the radio, but if I ever have a chance to talk to you, I'm going to tell you everything that I found out about it. And I firmly believe it was him, and he's gone and he's dead and he never paid for any of it. He would go for services and he didn't want to pay. So he ended up killing them. That's what he was doing. There's a lot to that story. A lot of it's not even in any of those books that came out.
All right. Well, so
I'll just say that. Well, and have a good day. Is there a new sandwich out this week or anything?
I'm actually working on a story about a sandwich, but I got to go order it. I got to go to the place and order it. But it'll be a fun story if I can get to it and get it done.
Is it a $20 sandwich?
I don't know, because it's not on the menu. I'll say that much.
And no food on the train. I asked you that. You said no, right?
No food on the train, no.
No snacks, nothing. Not even a bag of peanuts.
Nope.
Are we allowed to bring a sandwich and eat it on the ride?
I believe it says no food on there, but I'm sure people do that all the time.
All right. Have a good day.
You as well. All right. Bye-bye. 508-996-0500. We've got to take a break here. But if you're getting ready to make the money talk, you might want to grab your phone and open up the WBSM app, because it is time to get your first code of the day. The first of 10 that you'll get the day, the first of 10 chances to win $1,000 is coming up right now. Welcome back in. And of course, the sun is out. It is shining. It's warming up a little bit. We're up to 32 degrees, according to my watch. So we've gone up 2 degrees as the sun has risen into the sky. But the good thing is that big ball, round ball is up there in the sky. And that might make you think about the ability to add solar to your home. Now, you heard Mary talking about the Tesla cars. Did you know that there's Tesla roofs? It's something you can get from Isaacson Solar. You can find out more about it by going to their Facebook page. They've put up all kinds of videos showing the installs that they have done. And these are actually beautiful jobs. If you look at some of these homes, it's not a house that has solar panels on the roof. It's a house that when you look at it, it just looks like the roof, but they're solar panels. You know, they're not coming in here and putting up these solar panels that are, 4 feet above your roof. I mean, it looks like it fits into the natural beauty of your home. So if you have a historic property, if you have a home with a kind of strangely shaped roof, no matter what it may be, they can make it work for you. And maybe it's not your roof. Maybe it's putting up a solar pavilion or a solar carport or putting the solar panels somewhere else on the property and tying it into your home. Whatever it may be, they can make it work. And if they can't, they'll let you know that. They'll be honest and upfront about it when they come to check out your property. How do you make it happen? Just reach out to them. Go to isaacsonsolar.com and set up an appointment. They will come out. They'll answer all your questions about going solar. They'll take a look and they'll make suggestions about what they think they can do. And then you can decide still then if solar is right for you and your family. So follow them on Facebook to see some of these great videos and make sure you go to their website to set up an appointment. isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. All right, let's go into the newsroom now and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
More tariffs on China going into effect, resentencing for the Menendez brothers, and a new Billy Joel special.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Trump's special envoy to the Middle East is set to lead nuclear talks with Iran on Saturday.
U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff will lead the talks on behalf of the United States, which is set to focus on Iran's nuclear program. In an online post, Iran's foreign minister described the talks as an opportunity as much as it is a test, going on to say that the ball is in America's court. Direct talks between Washington and Tehran haven't taken place in a decade. Speaking Monday at the White House, President Trump said Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon, and if the talks aren't successful, Iran will be in great danger. That follows earlier comments from the president to NBC News, where he said if Iran doesn't make a deal, there will be bombing. Trent Murray, Tel Aviv.
President Donald Trump's 104% tariffs on China have officially taken effect, along with tariffs impacting dozens of other countries. The average tariff is 29%, some as high as 40%. China faces the steep number due to new tariffs imposed by Trump on top of levies from his first term. The Menendez brothers' resentencing hearing is set for this week. Tammy Trujillo has an update.
New Los Angeles DA Nathan Hochman plans to ask a judge to withdraw a previous resentencing request, claiming the brothers have shown no remorse.
One filed by the court, one filed by the prior district attorney. We're prepared to go forward with the court's motion, but we've asked the court to allow us to withdraw the prior district attorney's motion.
Lyle and Eric Menendez have been serving life sentences for the 1989 murders of their parents in their Beverly Hills home. Last October, then-District Attorney George Gascon recommended resentencing for the brothers, who claimed they were sexually abused by their father and that their mother was aware. The entire hearing on Friday may be moot after California Governor Gavin Newsom sent the case to the parole board.
Officials in Florida say death row inmate Michael Tansey has been executed. The 48-year-old died by lethal injection last night at the Florida State Prison. Tansey was put to death for the 2000 kidnapping and murder of Miami Herald employee Janet Acosta. It's the nation's 11th execution in 2025 and the third in Florida. An HBO original two-part documentary called Billy Joel and So It Goes will be opening at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York this summer. Mark Mayfield has details.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for...
The announcement was made by the festival's CEO and co-founder, Jane Rosenthal. This year's festival lineup hasn't been announced yet, but organizers say it will be soon. The festival runs from June 4th through the 15th. Festival goers can buy passes and tickets at TribecaFilm.com. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The acting IRS commissioner is resigning. Multiple reports say Melanie Krause is stepping down after the agency agreed to share illegal immigrants' tax information with federal immigration agents. Krause is the third person to leave the agency since January. Doug O'Donnell was an acting commissioner until his retirement last month. The Restore Roosevelt Avenue Coalition wants the feds to investigate prostitution in Queens.
The coalition is urging the FBI and DEA to step in to stop prostitution on Roosevelt Avenue in Jackson Heights. They set up their microphones on Tuesday in front of what they called an active brothel.
These are cartels, these are organized mobs, and they must be stopped.
Former State Senator Hiram Montserrat, he says in addition to prostitution, these international groups engage in human trafficking, illegal gun and narcotics sales, and identity theft. I'm Sarah Lee Kessler.
Authorities in Virginia say three people are dead following a shooting in Spotsylvania County. Three others were injured when multiple shots were fired around 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday. The sheriff's office says deputies found all six victims outdoors. There are no suspects, and the ages of the victims have not been released. Spotsylvania County is about 65 miles south of Washington, D.C.
WBSM Sports.
The Celtics hung on to beat the Knicks in overtime 119-117 last night. Seas are in Orlando tonight. Blue Jays over the Red Sox 6-1. Those two teams back at it tonight at 6:45. Bruins over the Devils 7-2. The Chicago Blackhawks come to Boston, take on the Bruins tomorrow at 7.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Sunshine today, 46, clear and colder tonight, 29, partly cloudy tomorrow, 47, showers on Friday, 50. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And DSY says, Mary's wrong, it was not Kenneth Pont who was the highway killer. Well, I can tell you that it's something that's been debated, but the case is still open. It is still an active case with the Bristol County District Attorney's Office. However, there hasn't been any movement on it in quite some time. Do you remember the story of the students at Assumption University that lured a person in because they were trying to make one of those catch a predator videos? And they tried to say that he was trying to meet up with underage girls for sex, and that wasn't what was going on at all. Well, the five Assumption University students accused of plotting to lure a 22-year-old man to campus through a dating app and then ambushing him as part of this catch a predator video trend on TikTok have had their kidnapping and conspiracy to commit kidnapping charges dropped. So the students are still facing other charges, but kidnapping is no longer one of them. They're charged with assault and battery. They're charged with witness intimidation. He was in town. The victim was in town for his grandmother's funeral back in October and was just looking to be around people that would make him that are happy, according to the campus police report. And he found a Tinder profile of a girl who said that she was 18. Now, keep in mind, he's 22. And she invited him over and led him into a basement lounge. And then a couple of people out of nowhere started calling him a pedophile, accusing him of wanting to have sex with 17-year-old girls. So these videos are, you know, they're hugely popular on TikTok. People, and I've had them fed to me on Facebook. You know, people watch these videos and share them around. They get millions and millions of views. But a lot of the times these are, you know, actual videos from, you know, To Catch a Predator, the NBC show. And they've gone on and they've done that as a web series as well. So that's led to other people kind of taking off on their own. And you've probably seen some of these go around where, like, you have these guys that walk up to somebody at a Walmart parking lot, like, what are you doing here? I'm meeting somebody. Oh, who are you meeting? Well, it turns out that you thought you were talking to a 15-year-old girl, but that was me. Like, that's the things they're doing, is these setups. But in this case, the person they were trying to set up apparently wasn't looking to have sex with an underage girl. He thought he was meeting an 18-year-old girl, and he's 22. That's not that weird. I don't know how much their conversations got in depth. If he was like, well, are you still in high school? Like, then that would be weird. But I guess, you know, in this particular case, it's more about the fact that they beat this guy up. Doesn't, you know, the pretenses of how they got him there still kind of pale in comparison to the fact that they beat him up. And even if you are making these videos and you want to catch these predators, okay, but let the police handle it from there. Don't take matters in your own hands by beating someone up, because that's going to not work out well for you, no matter what crime you think that they have committed. But again, it sounds more like they were just looking for the video rather than, you know, whether or not there was truth behind it. So we'll keep an eye on that case, but you can read more about it at WCVB.com. So they're no longer charged with kidnapping. Those charges were dropped because they didn't hold the man there against his will outside of assaulting him. Getting more messages that disagree with the Kenny Pont as the highway killer theory. He was the only person, though, that was ever indicted for it. And there, I'm sure, I know that Chris said he plans on having Maureen Boyle come back relatively soon. She was just here recently. But, you know, he's always been fascinated with this case and use the time that he has here on WBSM to try to keep that in the forefront of people's minds. In fact, yesterday, you know, the David Lynch story that I shared, I have a gallery in there of the New Bedford highway murder victims. And we'll share that with stories sometimes just because, you know, we want to make sure that we're keeping it in the public eye, and you never know when somebody's going to have information that they bring to the DA's office that changes things. And speaking of Maureen Boyle, we were talking about that story earlier. The person from someone who pretended to be from the Stonehill student newspaper reached out to the Suburban Shopper to find out about how they decide who gets political ads in the newspaper, but pretended to be a Stonehill reporter, even though she was a candidate for election in Stoughton. And even after she admitted to the Stonehill student paper that she lied, and she said lost her mind a little bit and didn't understand why she did it, she won. She won yesterday. She won a seat on the development board. Rachel Lazarus. Crazy story. Like I was saying earlier, my Stonehill intern, Mackie, on will be in a little bit later on. That's why you hear him some days on the news in the afternoon, not other days, because he does the news when he's here. His internship is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and not every day is he able to come because he has other projects that he's working on for school. So, you know, some weeks he might only come a couple of days or even one day. But I've been waiting for him to come in so I can talk to him about this, because it's a wacky story. And I'm sure they've been discussing it in Maureen Boyle's class, for sure. 508-996-0500. Got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few. Do the next thing that you feel. All right. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. You're next on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
Hey, Lamone.
Hey, how you doing, bud?
Good. How you been?
I'm pretty good. I was thinking, you know, since this is going to probably be the most interactive and exciting WrestleMania that we've ever had, you think that your beautiful owners and managers there could send you to Las Vegas to cover it?
Doubtful. Yeah, I doubt it.
And think I'm thinking about trying to get back into the ring. So if I die, you know, she can say, "Hey, he died for our community." You know, just so everybody there can feel the love. And I think that would be really nice to do something simple like that.
So you're going to be in attendance at WrestleMania?
I'm hoping. If I knew you were coming, I would have to represent. But then if you're not coming, I won't have to. I don't know. It depends on how much better I can get my cardiovascular up to. You know, like I said, I used to be able to pull that 60-minute Broadway sprint a couple times, but right now I don't think I could pull like maybe 15-minute. I don't know. You know, that's a big difference from where I was to where I am. And so it's like I'm hoping to do something fun. So I'm going to go see Sabu here after because of my doctor's appointment this morning, and hopefully things will be all good.
Are you going to be hitting up any of the other events, the Fan Fest or the Hall of Fame ceremony or any of that stuff?
Well, that's what I'm hoping. The Hall of Fame is going to have like old wrestlers get in the ring and do something like that. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, and that's what I've been working with Sabu doing. Like, so I'm hoping, God willing, that's where I'll be. And I'll be sad if I don't get to do it. But, you know, somebody's got to do it, right? So is Spooky Live going this weekend?
No. We probably won't be back for a little while still.
Dang.
I went to bed last Saturday at 8:30 at night.
Must be nice.
I'm worn out.
Yeah, heaven forbid. You know, all them children you go babysitting doing this holidays all the summertime. Huh? Oh yeah. So how's Skitty doing?
She's doing well. I just saw her at the Hunger Heroes food drive last Saturday, and she's called in a couple times this week. She's doing well.
I'm glad she is. It's good to not know that, you know, some of your regulars are doing well, and you know, it's good to hear that. You know, and it's like, for us, it's like going to be 92 degrees here in Las Vegas this afternoon.
Man, so, it's 30 exactly. degrees here right now.
Oh, and you got rain too, don't you?
No, it's a sunny skies today, but it's been rain off and on all week, and it's going to be that way all week long.
Dang, must be nice.
But we're up to 33 degrees right now, so it's a veritable heat wave compared to what it was this morning.
Well, you go. Must be nice. It must be nice out there. I wish I could go out and visit you guys. But you know, this will be my attempt at coming that way. You know, at least die at home for you guys. You know, representing. I'm not trying to die anytime soon. I'm just letting everybody know. So that's just something I'm kind of concerned about. So like right now, I'm getting ready to get back on the freeway. I was riding next to these police Conair buses. You know, the Conair buses. You know, mm-hmm. like Conair, the planes. Yeah, they've got some kind of a federal case going on here in Las Vegas. They've got a bunch of vehicles following them and stuff like that too. So that's kind of nice to look at. And so have you been having seen like where all the lights have been blinking on and off in the city and stuff like that? You've been seeing things like that going on?
No, not too much. There hasn't been a lot of reports of that lately. So I'm sure we'll get that. You know, once the warmer weather comes and people are outside more, we'll get more of it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going on all over everywhere, all over the world, literally. And so,
yeah, I think here we've just had a lot of, you know, cold nights and cloudy skies, so that's probably kept people from looking up.
Oh, but the lights are on the buildings, you know, like the street lights and like business centers, their lights stuff going on and off like that.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that. No, you're getting like blinkouts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no, I didn't know about that.
On and off, like kids at a switch. You know, like, you know, that's what's going on. Maybe I'll send you a link. You can look at a bunch of them, and you could tell everybody about it tomorrow morning when you come back and work in the morning.
Sure.
And maybe even put a couple things up on your site. So, You seem to have something really fun. I was hoping I'd get you to come out here and we'd have some fun, but no.
No, but I'll be back in the ring this summer because the wrestling group that I do work with, they're going to have a reunion show, and I'm going to be the ring announcer, and who knows, maybe I'll even get involved physically because I look a lot different than I did last time I was in the ring, so.
Yeah, you'll probably be more like, you'll be more like a Big Van Vader. You'd be like more Spicoli, so you know that, since you'd be a bit thinner, though. Hella thinner, though, won't you?
Yeah.
And maybe get your singlet and whatever, get in the ring and do some actual wrestling, you know, just sort of, you know, that would be, I don't know. Is that moment pass for you?
No, I might. We'll see what happens. I'm going to talk to Brickhouse and see what we can pull off. So.
Well, I hope that works out well for you guys.
No, thank you for that. I hate to cut you off, but I got to hold you. I got a break here I got to take before the end of the hour.
Okay. Tell your parents hello. Are they doing well?
They're doing well.
That's good. So I'm thinking if we'd have brought them, then you would have had to go to Vegas. No, but that's okay, brother. I just want to say God bless everybody out there, and may the good Lord smile upon you, bring you a lot of light and laughter and your love.
Right back at you, sir. You have a good one.
Play on, Playboy. God bless.
All right. That is Lamone in Las Vegas. We got to take our final break. We'll be right back. All right. Stay tuned. We're going to have your next code for Money Talks coming up in the next hour. Chris McCarthy's going to have that for you during South Coast Now. And, of course, you're going to get 9 more codes total today. It's 10 codes every weekday, 10 chances to win $1,000. And then coming up later on in the contest, $10,000 Thursdays are coming your way. It's brought to you by Long Moving and Storage. It couldn't be any easier. You just listen for that code, and then you enter it at WBSM.com or on the WBSM app, and you could be closer to $1,000 richer. You could buy all kinds of stuff. You could buy AstroTurf with it.